This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Monday. Vinny and Haney, 105. So the Fan, Nolan McGraw, is on the other side of the glass. Rookie camp happening this weekend at One Winning Drive. Only open to the media yesterday. So John Harbaugh and some of the rookies got to speak to the masses. And here's John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, talking about their first-round draft pick out of Georgia, Malachi Starks.
Right. Well, yeah, I hope he learns how to be like an all-pro. I mean, that's kind of what you hope. I mean, you hope for the best. And plan for the best too, I guess. I mean, I expect him to do really well. You know, he's our first round pick. A lot to whom much is given, much is required. And nobody understands it better than him as a young guy. Really impressed with his maturity. He broke the huddle today. That's not an easy thing to do your first time. So far, so good.
Yeah, I thought Malachi, he's wearing jersey number 24 for Ravens fans. He'll be jersey 24. Thought he looked smooth and fluid out there. He did not look like it was too big for him. He looked very comfortable. Saw him, go deep on a ball and stuff. So I think he's going to be as advertised. I was talking to one of my buddies who's coaching another team. Said they thought he was the cleanest, one of the cleanest players in the draft. They thought he was by far the best safety. So, and the Ravens did too. I think he's going to help a lot for them. I think he's going to be one of the few guys of the draft picks that's going to make a big impact right away for them. I think day one, first day of OTAs, or first day of mandatory minicamp, I think 24 is on the first team defense.
And look, he looks the part, no, I guess.
Yeah, physically looks the part. Yes, he does. We're going to talk about some other guys that don't. And when they were doing team stuff, Malachi was the free safety. Bill Hall Kone, the Western Michigan corner, number 31, he was at left corner, and Robert Longerbeam was the right corner, and then he moved inside some too. But Kone, I thought Kone looks the part too. He's long, they're lean. Thought he was little hip stiffness, but I thought he's going to be the Brandon Stevens type guy. I think he's going to be good in press because he's got long arms. And he's 6'1", and he's got some length to him. Whereas Longerbeam is a stick. He is skinny, small frame. And that showed up a lot on film with his tackling, and strength versus big receivers. He is really quick. He's got real good feet. He's got good movement. I liked his movement and stuff. But, I mean, he is skinny. And I couldn't see him trying to tackle Derrick Henry. I mean, that would be very interesting scenario for him. But both corners, I thought they have the skills, they have the movement skills. Can they hold up? Especially Longerbeam, he's jersey 37, Kone's 31. Can they hold up against physical people, physical receivers? I thought playing press, turning, running deep. I thought he did nice there. Longabeef showed his speed quite a few times. There was one, like, on a go route. He didn't look back for the ball. They didn't catch it, but I'm like, come on, show me that. Show me that. But I thought both for the first day. I mean, they're practicing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So for the first day, there's nerves and stuff out there. So for the first day, you know, it's hard to tell till we get pads on and then they're playing against, Bateman and Zay and NFL receivers, see what they look like. But there wasn't a lot of guys offensively to really challenge them. LaJonte Wester, yeah, I mean, speed-wise and stuff, he could challenge him. But, Bob, that's another dude that, you know, he's 5'10", 170. That is a stick also. He is small, and he looks small, quick as a hiccup. You know, and he spent a lot of time, you know, returning punts and with Randy Brown, you know, learning how to catch punts and working on catching punts and doing drills, you know, catching punts. So they're anticipating him being the punt returner. And kind of what I said was, you know, I think, you know, some, you know, you have a package for him. The only thing I was told was, all right, if you have a package for him, so would you rather have him carrying the ball or Zay Flowers carrying the ball or him running that quick screen or Zay running that quick screen? That's a good point. You know, good point. I mean, yeah, I would much rather have Zay with the ball in his hands more so. Now, when we looked at Mike Green, I thought Mike Green physically looked good. He had long arms, well built, and thought he showed good movement skills and everything. And we'll see. You know, when they get the pads on and stuff, where he can turn it loose rushing. But they're just working on a lot of fundamental things. And they really didn't go full speed hardly at all. But they hadn't dropping into coverage and rushing a passer. But I think by the time it's all said and done, I think Mike Green is going to be an excellent, excellent rusher for him. And by the time that, you know, Chuck Smith, you know, gets to work with him quite a bit and everything, I think he looked the part. Let me just say that. Green, he looked the part. Now, offensive line-wise, or Peebles, Aeneas Peebles, catch him.
We got another NFL lunch segment coming up there, Vinny Serrato. Ravens did make a move over the weekend. Speaking of offensive line, Joseph Noteboom agreed to a deal with Baltimore, formerly of the L.A. Rams, a guy that's got a Super Bowl ring from his days in Los Angeles, has been somewhat injury-plagued the last couple of years.
Well, the thing with Noteboom, and, you know, when we talk about Emory Jones, I think that was a big reason for signing Noteboom, because Noteboom can play everything but center, and they needed that swing tackle, because Emory Jones, I don't know, well, you know, how much he'll play with his shoulder. So Noteboom, that was a big key get for them. You know, and a guy that, you know, hasn't stayed healthy a lot, but maybe just being the swing guy and stuff, kind of like McCary was. McCary was a guy who was hurt a lot, too, with his back and stuff. But then, you know, he stayed healthy. And, you know, Noteboom, you get a veteran guy. You don't have to count on, you don't have to worry about a rookie being a swing tackle if somebody goes down.
It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Coming up, NFL Lunch, we're going to hear from some of the draft picks, Malachi Starts and Mike Green, and he has Peebles. Going to hear more from John Harbaugh as well. And we'll talk about how Tyler Loop looked as he's expected to possibly replace Justin Tucker. Matter of fact, we're going to hear John Harbaugh talk about that very subject himself. When we come back, however, let's count some dough on this Monday. Buy or sell Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun. Talk about the Orioles, who right now are mired in last place in the American League East after dropping two straight and another series to the Kansas City Royals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Benny and Haney, 1057 The Fan here on this Monday. A lot going on in the world of sports, and we'll get to it. Got some money to count. Hopefully, we'll get to that, too. It's otherwise known, by the way, as buy or sell.
Yeah, the Dow's up 106. The S&P is down 13. NASDAQ's down 74. DraftKings down 17 cents. Under Armour's up a nickel, 572.
Starting things off in the NFL today, where Tyler Sullivan has ranked the NFC teams coming out of this year's draft. Top teams really shouldn't come as a surprise. Eagles, Lions, Commanders in that order. But at the bottom of the conference, he has the New Orleans Saints. The injury uncertainty for Derek Carr, really the biggest negative here, and their healthy options, Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler. It's not very inspiring, at least on paper. Throw in the fact that they've got a new head coach at the helm. Sullivan doesn't see much reason for optimism, but to consider them worse off than, say, the Giants or even the Panthers, who have been abysmal for a few years now. Vinny, are you buying or selling? The Saints are, in fact, the worst on paper right now.
The worst on paper, I'll buy it just because they don't have a quarterback. And I mean, they're going to play the Louisville rookie. That's going to be interesting. The credit card mentality may finally catch up to them, where they're going to have to go into a total rebuild.
Go over to the NBA here. The Thunder and Nuggets will meet in the conference semifinals. That series gets started tonight, but the route that both of those teams have taken to get here, completely different. OKC, they've been waiting around since they closed out their sweep of the Grizzlies. That last game took place on April the 26th. Denver, meanwhile, coming off an intense seven-game series with the Clippers, just wrapped up on Saturday night. Now, Denver, a little bit hotter coming in because they just played these games, while the Thunder, they weren't really tested by Memphis at all, and again, have been sitting for well over a week. Buy or sell, Bob, that layoff will have a negative impact on OKC, at least for game one.
Yeah, I'll buy that. And we saw it with Cleveland yesterday against Indiana after they rolled through their first round series. And it's a hefty spread, too. 9.5 points OKC. And look, Denver got busy against the Clippers in game seven. You saw Russell Westbrook, the dunk that kind of sealed the deal, where he literally was doing like pull-ups on the rim and he got teed up for it. So, yes, negative effect in regards to how they were performed tonight. I'm not saying they will lose the game, Nolan McGraw, but I'm digging that 9.5 from a Denver fan.
Go back to the NFL here. More negative rankings, this time from Garrett Podell, who has identified the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL post-draft. Oddly enough, he doesn't share the same view as our previous writer when it comes to the Saints. They're nowhere to be found here in the top three or five, but the Steelers are worse off right now, in Podell's opinion. Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, Skylar Thompson, those are your three names on the depth chart. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers, he would change the perception of that depth chart very quickly, but who knows when he'll make up his mind or if the Steelers are even willing to wait at this point. Vinny, are you buying or selling that the Steelers' quarterback room is worse off right now than, say, the Browns and their overcrowded room, or a team like the Saints we just got done talking about?
I would say, as is right now, the Steelers are pretty bad. But I do think Aaron Rodgers is coming in because it doesn't seem like they're in any panic. I'm guessing that Aaron will probably be there for mandatory mini camp, would be my bet. You know, but there is some ugly rooms. I mean, you know, for Cleveland, if Gabriel or Sanders turn out to be the guy, it's a home run for them. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of teams with ugly rooms that are going to be looking for a quarterback next year.
We'll go over to baseball here and look at the Orioles in particular. Cedric Mullins, been the O's probably their best player so far this season. And as it stands now, it would be my assumption that he would be the obvious choice to represent the team in the All-Star game. Now, Baltimore is in kind of a weird spot. They have a lot of recognizable names, former All-Stars throughout the roster, but a lack of wins doesn't really make them very attractive on a national level. And usually losing teams or teams with records like the Orioles have right now, you kind of know going into the All-Star break, we're going to get our designated one guy, and that's it. The last time Baltimore had just one All-Star was 2022, when Jorge Lopez got the nod. Buy or sell, Bob, the Orioles will end up having multiple All-Stars later this summer, despite the slow start.
So we're saying more than one?
That's correct.
Yes, I will go, I'm buying that, because Gunnar's starting to heat up a little bit. O'Hearn, quite frankly, is making a run to be their team MVP through the first 33 games, but he's more of a platoon player, I guess, if you want to call it that. So, yes, I will buy that more than one Oriole will make the All-Star team. Hey, Felix Bautista is starting to get himself together, too. So, yes, I'm buying that, Noel.
And our last topic of the day in the NFL, Jalen Ramsey. We know he was made available on the trade market earlier this offseason, but based on the size of his contract, it's pretty much assumed that nothing would come of it. Who would be a potential suitor, though? Well, what about his former team in the Rams? Sean McVay actually flat out admitted that LA is in talks with Miami about the cornerback. The compensation is a mystery because of that contract and really what the Dolphins are willing to eat before he is shipped out of town. If you remember a few years ago when LA dealt him to Miami, he fetched a third round pick and a backup tight end. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Rams will be able to reunite with Ramsey for a cheaper price than what they sold him for.
No, I'll definitely buy that, because financially, Miami's going to have to eat some of that salary for somebody to take him.
And even if they eat a ton of it, or a majority of it, still nothing like a third rounder?
No, they're not getting a third round. No, they won't get a third, but they'll probably get like a fifth, something like that, I would imagine.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back to the Orioles, Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. Talk about the many problems this team has faced so far in 2025. Now, off to Minnesota and Anaheim. If you're going to get right, you would like your chances, I guess, against these two struggling teams. So we'll talk to JCM about that. Get back to the Ravens rookie camp. Going to hear from Malachi Starks around 12:45. NFL Lunch. Going to hear from Harbsy and others. And then the American League East report at 1:15. Interesting weekend in the division. And then we look at only one game tonight, but it's an interesting matchup, Yankees and Padres, and some games coming up tomorrow. And then Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, talk some NFL with him. Nolan talking about those updated power rankings. Where do the Ravens stand post-draft and all that fun stuff?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All season long, they're 13-20 in the year, last place in the American League East. Some things we talked about multiple times here so far on this Monday, and here to get his thoughts on it, because he's there all the time watching this all unfold from the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Jacob, good afternoon. How you feeling today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. And look, Kansas City comes to Baltimore, 15 homers on the season as a team. On the season. Cal Raleigh had 12 for Seattle all by himself. So they hit 10 Saturday, Sunday, 7 again yesterday. So when we look at that, you try to figure out why. I mean, Aiken's the only pitcher who didn't give up a home run yesterday. Is it just kind of a microcosm of the season for the staff where the worst home run hitting team comes to town and hits 10 in a series, sets a club mark for a game with 7? Or is it one of these blind squirrel situations for the Royals where there's no way in hell they're going to duplicate that at any point this season?
Yeah, it was sort of cruel and unusual and funny all at the same time that game went out the way that it did. I think I had tweeted this out before the game, which was that in the past 6 games at Camden Yards between Kansas City and the Orioles, they had combined to score 23 runs in those 6 games. If you go back to the playoff games that they played and the first 2 games of the series and then when they faced off early in 2024. So it's like these teams always play low-scoring games and then, you know, there's 11 home runs hit. It's actually funny. I look at it in a way, you know, that's not maybe as exciting as, you know, giving hot takes or things like that, but I sort of look at it as just natural regression. This bullpen has been really good. This bullpen has been better than people expected. Yennier Cano, you know, had gone through the first month of the season without giving up an earned run. At some point, he had to give up runs, right? It was going to happen. Brian Baker has been extremely good for this bullpen. At some point, he was going to have a really bad outing in a big moment. You know, and so then you have the back end of the bullpen with Morton and Bowman, and we can get to that later, I guess. But those guys gave up 4 runs as well. The thing that's a little bit unfortunate is this team has regression coming in other ways in a positive direction, right? Like they're the worst hitting team against lefties in Major League Baseball. You would think that they will improve against lefties moving forward. It just didn't happen. It just didn't happen this weekend. And then, you know, runners in scoring position, I believe they're bottom 3 in Major League Baseball. They went 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position again on Sunday. And so it's like there's a lot of areas where this team is going to improve as the season goes on, just naturally. But the one area where they, you know, they probably were going to take a step back was the bullpen, and that just seemed to happen first.
Now, Jacob, one guy who doesn't seem to be able to shake the early season funk is Charlie Morton. $15 million signed in the offseason, now pitching out of the pen. Gave up a home run yesterday, like everyone but Aiken did. How long can they go before they decide that this just isn't happening anymore? I mean, Kimbrel, after a crappy April, stabilized to the point where we were talking about him getting hosed out of being on the All-Star team, and then we know how the second half went for him. But how long can they realistically wait, man, for Charlie Morton to get it together, whatever get it together for him even means at this stage?
Yeah. Yeah, not to disagree with your comparison, because Kimbrel had a really bad stretch in late April and in early May. He was removed from the closer's role. Overall in April, this is a different situation. I mean, this is truly debilitating for this team, for this pitching staff, for the starting rotation. I believe the stat now would be that the Orioles are 0-8 in games pitched by Charlie Morton, which would mean that they are 13-12 when he doesn't pitch. Now, the team's problems are wider than that, right? You cannot just put the blame on one guy. But you can put a good amount of the blame on the fact that he really has pitched horribly out of the rotation, out of the bullpen. And how long can they keep doing this? It's a question I keep asking myself. It's a question we keep asking Brandon Hyde when it's unfair technically for us to ask him, because it's not his decision. This is Mike Elias's decision on how much longer that this guy's going to be on the team. And we might start getting to the point where this is a little bit of the sunk cost fallacy of saying, hey, we paid $15 million for this guy, so therefore we have to find a way to get him back on track. Now, I'm not saying that that's the wrong decision. At the moment, there are still some indicators that show that Charlie Morton could get back on track. There's a lot of indicators that show that. He's been a good pitcher for a really long time, and his stuff still looks pretty solid at times. But I don't know how much longer they can wait. And honestly, that decision is really solely up to Mike Elias. And if this gets to the point where, you know, we're heading into June, Charlie Morton still has an ERA around 9, and they keep losing every single game that he pitches in, you got to start asking yourself how much longer they can keep doing this, and whether there's more at play here that's going into the decision, and whether there's any mental block for anybody in the organization from cutting a guy who you paid $15 million to.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the Orioles in Major League Baseball, of course, for the Baltimore Sun. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What's the ETA for Zach Eflin, Jacob? Because he pitched well yesterday. Kittredge got in there, gave up a run. We know Trevor Rogers is rehabbing himself back. As Kyle Stowers is, fourth in the National League in batting average here. So Eflin and others, what's the expected return to whatever role they're going to have here?
Yeah, I would have guessed that Eflin would only need one rehab outing, which would put him on track to start this weekend in Anaheim. That's still possible, but I'm a little bit confused by the team's decision to bump back Dean Kramer a day. So right now the rotation is Povich on Tuesday, TBA on Wednesday, and then Kramer on Thursday. That seems to indicate to me that maybe Eflin – maybe they want to give Eflin one more rehab start before bringing him back up. That's just speculation. And honestly, I'm not really sure. It could just be a coin flip. So either this weekend for Eflin or next week for his return. And then you look at the rest of the guys. Kittredge looks to be later this month. They're probably going to want to get him multiple weeks on a rehab assignment to get him sort of ramped up in a spring training type of format. And then you look at the rest of the guys. You've got Colton Cowser, who his original timeline was 8 to 10 weeks. He got hurt around April 1st. That puts him to maybe mid-June. Grayson Rodriguez, who knows at this point, I think July might be, again, none of these are team-issued timelines. They, sure. They seem to be even more cagey than normal these days with injury designations. And I mean, it's like an NHL team out there with upper body, lower body injuries and providing no timeline. So when you have this many injured players, it gets difficult. So, but Grayson, maybe best case scenario at some point in July. And then Rogers and McDermott just came off the IL. And he's going to, just keep pitching in, out of the rotation in AAA. That's somebody that I think would maybe classify as a dark horse, as somebody that's, been perhaps the best strikeout pitcher in minor league baseball over the past several years, who could come up and be a factor either out of the rotation or out of the bullpen. And then Trevor Rogers is still on his rehab assignment. It's not going too well. The velo is a little bit better than it was at the end of last season, but still not where the team would probably want it to be. And so whether he just joins the Orioles or if he is optioned to AAA kind of remains to be seen.
Jacob, how fun is baseball for Jackson Holliday right now?
Yeah, I'm sure he'd rather the team be winning while he's playing this right. Well. Yesterday should have been about just a gritty offensive performance. Every single time that the pitchers gave up a run, the offense came right back. Right, that was the type of offensive performance that we should have been asking about after the game, of talking about how a very 2023-esque performance. And then Jackson goes out and hits two homers. He looks really good at the plate right now, a lot more comfortable. It's funny because everybody's kind of clamoring for him to play every single day, which he's only sitting now against lefties. And I understand that, especially now that he's on a hot streak. But I do think we should maybe put two and two together that maybe part of why he's hitting so well is because he's not facing any lefties. He did have a hit yesterday against the lefty, but it was a different calculation when you were playing Ramon Arias over Jackson Holliday, and Ramon Arias has been one of this team's better hitters over the past 365 days. I think that's a totally fair calculation to make, and I think it's what's best for this team probably is to, if you're facing a lefty, to have Ramon in there over Jackson. It's different now that Ramon Arias and Jordan Westberg are on the IL, and the guy that you're playing over Jackson Holliday is Jorge Mateo. I'm not so sure that should still be the case. And so I'm curious if Brandon Hyde looks at this. We started to see him bump Jackson Holliday up in the batting order. Now that's partially because of the injuries. But I'm curious if Brandon Hyde looks at this and says, hey, let's keep bumping Jackson up the order, and maybe let's play him every single day and see if this is see if this is truly him breaking out. But if you just look at where we were a year ago when he looked so bad when he first got up here and then he got optioned back to AAA, it's a complete 180 right now.
Hey, Jacob, it looks like Gunnar is like really heating up. Balls are falling in. You know, I mean, he's always been hitting the ball fairly hard, you know, but it looks like he's ready to take off.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of positive. Like, the frustrating thing, I think, for this team this past weekend is they can't hit lefties at all. I mean, they're the worst team in Major League Baseball by far against lefties, on pace to be the worst team in Major League history against lefties. So they lose Saturday just because they face a lefty. And then yesterday, the pitching, the bullpen explodes. They, you know, controversially bring in Charlie Morton in the eighth inning. And there should have been some positive momentum going into this road trip, because you're right, it's not just Jackson Holliday. Gunnar Henderson is heating up. I think a 9-game hit streak over that span. He has an OPS over 900. He remains to be one of the hardest, you know, leading, you know, I think he's top 5 or top 10 in baseball in average exit below. And so, listen, he is the type of player that, and there's not many of these guys in the league where they can have a 10 to 14 game stretch where they're so good that they can single-handedly win you some baseball games. The only difficulty is that the rest of the team needs to allow him to do that. And so if the team is moving in, if Gunnar is moving into a stretch where he can just go, you know, kind of just go crazy here in the next couple of weeks, the question is whether the pitching staff is able to keep this team in games long enough that Gunnar Henderson can kind of put this team on his back, because it looks like he's getting ready to do that.
Well, only people going crazy right now are the fans. Jacob Calvin Meyer watching with the Orioles have done through 33 games. JCM, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Cinco de Mayo. We'll catch up with you soon.
Oh, happy Cinco de Mayo. Thanks. Kobe Mayo on the team on Cinco de Mayo. Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, how about that? Yeah. I'd like to see 5 home runs in the next 2 weeks from Kobe Mayo. Then we'll get back to that. How's that sound?
When he does that, hit me back up. I'll come back on.
Right. He's Jacob Calvin-Meyer. We'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL lunch at noon, 1 o'clock rather. American League East report. What happened in the division yesterday? Only one game tonight, but it's a good one. And then Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, talks of NFL with him as the schedules come out next Wednesday. Talk about him last hour or earlier this hour. That's Starks himself talking about coming in, what he brings to the equation, and the expectations that the Ravens have for him as a rookie.
Yeah, the thing about it is he's going to be the starter, and does he need to really come in and lead these guys? No, he's got Marlon Humphrey, veteran player, Pro Bowl player. You got Kyle Hamilton, Pro Bowl player, what, third-year guy? So you've got some guys around. What Malachi needs to do is learn from them. Wiggins, it will probably be the guy on the other side. So there is veteran guys back there. You got Roquan right in front of you. So you got a lot of veteran presence around you. So he's got a good chance to learn from them. And if it just so happens that, you know, he is the guy back there, it only helps communication that much better. But it sounds like that he is a leader type guy, very articulate, very smart guy, used to calling, you know, the stuff back there. So I think that'll be good for the back end, you know. So I just expect him to like just take off, but learn, especially this time of the year, learn from OTAs and the mini camps and training camp, learn from the Marlon Humphreys and learn from Roquan, you know, and for Roquan, that's an easy one for him because they're both Georgia guys.
3 of the last 4 years, the Ravens have taken a DB in the first round of the draft. Zay Flowers was 2023, and here in 2025, were the Ravens expected to be Super Bowl contenders, if not favorites in the eyes of Sun. You know, we're starting to see that fruits of that labor come to fruition here with these young DBs in the secondary here.
Yeah, because what it does, it gives, yeah, with Hamilton, Starks, and Wiggins, gives them speed, youth, gives them length. You know, gives them versatility. I think that's the biggest thing is they're all fast, they're all athletic, they're all playmakers is the biggest thing. They all can make plays back there, and that's what they want. I mean, they need those are guys that, where they're blitzing or whatever, they'll get sacks. And then on the back end, there are guys that can break balls up and intercept balls. And you know what? Starks is a good tackler, good fundamental. That's the thing about Malachi is fundamentally he's very good. And that's coming from a program like Georgia.
Now, we talk about the draft as Starks goes to the first round of it. We're going to hear from other Ravens draft picks coming up here in a few minutes. We get to NFL lunch, but the NFL draft 2027, now that the Commanders are moving back to D.C. proper, they get to host the 2027 NFL draft. Next year, it's in Pittsburgh, but it's going to be the draft expected to be held at the National Mall where the Washington Monument stands. So NFL draft of 27 going to be down in D.C.
I think that'll be pretty cool. I think it'll be extremely popular. I think it'll be huge crowds. Yeah, it'll be pretty exciting. And then when they get their new stadium, what, 2030, then they'll have a Super Bowl there too and stuff. And it looks like, I mean, just the pictures and stuff looks like kind of like what Vegas and the Rams, what these new stadiums look. They look like spaceships getting ready to take off.
Now you have it in Pittsburgh next year, division rival of the Ravens. D.C. 2 years right down the street. When's Baltimore ever going to get it? Because I was trying to think, where would you have it?
That's what I was just going to ask. Where do you put it?
I mean, because the Harbor Place isn't what it used to be. I don't even think it's open anymore. What do you put in Lot B, across from M&T Bank Stadium?
Do you have enough for
150,000 people? Because that's what Green Bay had.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd have to do some configuring. I don't know that it's a natural place to have it.
Yeah, I can't think of an area, at least off the top of my head. Harbor Place maybe 30 years ago, but I don't know. To get that many people, and look, it's a primetime extravaganza. Your city's in the spotlight. And you want to have it to be like a half-ass event. So I wouldn't see, like, the All-Star game is going to be coming to Camden Yards probably soon. I don't see the draft coming to Baltimore anytime soon, mainly because there's nowhere to put the thing.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Yeah, I don't see where there would be a place to put that many. I mean, in Detroit, they have, what, 700,000 over the 3 days?
I mean, it's insane. I mean, that's a lot of volume downtown. Nolan, we have time for a call? Nolan says yes. Let's go to Chris in Parkville. Chris, what's happening here on this Monday?
Gentlemen, great show as always. I had a quick question for Benny regarding like what you were just talking about the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can't be overstated, Pagano being back in the building as coaching and especially in the back end. And to me, I wanted to pose this to Benny, but I think we should really see a difference, especially in the back end of this defense with the pieces, you know, and Pagano. I just wanted to hear his thoughts on that, expand on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the biggest thing is the talent back there, too. You know, if Marlon Humphrey can play like he played last year, and Wiggins will be better in year two, he should be bigger and stronger being in the weight room and stuff. And then you got Kyle Hamilton, who you're going to allow to be more versatile. And then you got Starks in the back end. And then you still got TJ Tampa, you know, and then we'll see what the rookies, you know, how the rookies do. But, and there's still a Darius Washington. I mean, there's still a lot of pieces back there, a lot of talented players. So I would expect that the defense is going to be much better this year, especially if they can match, you know, like the offense, number one. And there's not a lot of changes on the offense. And if the defense can be top 10, that'll be scary.
Orioles are off tonight in Minnesota. Tomorrow, start a 3-game set. We'll preview that one when we get back for Turn It Up Tuesday. But coming up next, NFL lunch. Feed you some football. Talk more about the rookie class of 2025 as Vinny was there. And we're going to hear from a couple of more draft picks, including, well, we'll hear from John Harbaugh, the head coach, Mike Green, and ES Peebles, and a couple of more. More from Malachi Starks, as a matter of fact. American League East report, what happened in the division yesterday and over the weekend. And Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com will talk some NFL, 12 days out from the schedule release, which means everyone starts predicting records.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.